Just a reminder once again that nomination slips are in the mailbox. It's interesting as I travel past the mailboxes regularly, just how often mail sits in those mailboxes, sometimes for weeks, months. So please check the mailboxes. And the nomination slips, if you see your name there, then ask the Lord what he would have you to do. That's all we're simply asking, is that you be obedient to the Lord's leading as well. And just in case you're wondering, that Braden and Marlise are here this morning, I see. And I imagine that everybody's going to be wanting to go back and see the addition to their family. And so go back at the end of the service, hopefully. You'll wait that long to praise the Lord with them for that. And then if those of you that traveled past my office, if you saw the decorating, I think you missed your calling for two different individuals who decorated my office. And that, I call out Teresa and Judy, who had a hand in that, and that maybe they should be on the decorating committee in the future. And that, just so I can say something about all the work that they did to decorate my office and as well. So, but yeah, I guess birthdays come once a year, and you did miss Simon, somebody's birthday today, and I'll mention Bill Thiessen. His birthday is today. I'm not sure where he's parked himself. There he is. You can wish him a happy birthday as well. And just in case you're wondering, he's a little bit older than I am. I bet some of you were confused with that, but as well. But trust you also be in prayer this week. Imagine some of you have got Connor and Cheyenne's prayer letter in your mailboxes, just thanking the Lord that the flooding did not reach their house, though it came up to their driveway, I guess. And so you can be thankful for that. They're expecting a child. And so the end of this month, they will be heading to Chiang Mai to have the birth of their second child. Also, be continuing to pray for Ken Gunther. He's in Greece for another week at least. And then just pray that all the workshops that he's looking after, that might go well while he's there. And also, some of you got Brent and Jody Ristow's prayer letter, and you can be praying for them. They are continuing to find opportunities to minister into that community, and it's interesting how God is opening doors of opportunity, and Jody with a homeschool association that she's started and is creating opportunities for her to be able to reach into others' lives through that means. And then also, I'm not sure if any of you, but we're at Ranger Lake last evening. Some of us went, and they're praising the Lord. I think they had 960-some campers, I believe my memory serves me correctly, this past year. 50 decisions for Christ over this last summer's ministry as well. And that God met their budget as well. And they have a very large budget, something like $700,000 budget, and God mightily provided. And they are trusting the Lord for bigger things even in the year ahead. So trust that you're continuing to pray for our missions and our missionaries, and that as God gives opportunity as well. Well, I wanted to start just for a couple Sundays to share with you some thoughts about prayer. And I came across the passage in the Old Testament I want to open up for us today and take a few minutes just to share some thoughts about prayer, especially as we look forward to our anniversary service. And that, as I'm going to share in a little bit here, is that this church's ministry was begun on prayer. And we saw the hand of God's blessing through the years, over these past 50 years, that was the work of God to brought us to this place. And the ministry that we had, not just only in our own doors here, but to the world at large as God led individuals to around the world. And that was an answer to a prayer. And so the importance of prayer in our lives. And if we're going to see God move into the next 50 years, we're going to have to invest in prayer. And we're going to have to make it one of our disciplines. And so let me take a few moments this morning just to share with you some thoughts on prayer. David was given the title of a man after God's own heart. And it was not that he followed God's heart in all that he did. And many of you have gone through the life of David and you've seen the life of David. And maybe you've even shared that story with your kids and some of the things of the life of David. But one of the titles that he had was a man after God's own heart. And so the word of God shares with us on more than one occasion when God stepped in and he brought judgment upon him. And if you've spent time reading your Bible, you are familiar with the stories of God's judgment in his life and upon him. See, it was not that David was perfect. But when he was faced with his sin, he dealt with it. And his heart was tuned to do the will of God and make him large in the eyes of the people. And so as he sought to rule over the nation of Israel, he sought to make God large in the people's eyes. Did he do everything perfectly? No, he did not. And we would say, well, maybe I could have done a better job. Well, maybe you could. But yet God's title for him was a man after God's own heart. He dealt with his sin through the avenue of confession by bringing it before the Lord and agreeing with him that it was sin. And so as the prophet Nathan came before him and as others made him aware of sin in his life, then he brought it before the Lord and he agreed with God, yes, that is sin. And the importance in our own lives when God shows us areas in our own life where we have stepped outside of his boundaries, that we come with a spirit of confession as well, and we confess that before him, and we know that he will forgive us if we do that. It was not that his life was easy within this relationship. None of us have had to flee from our son wanting to kill us, as David did, or for a period of time having the king seeking to pursue you to put you to death. Through these experiences, David was brought to the place of absolute dependence upon God. And he had to come to that place in his life where he sought the dependence upon his God. I'm sure there were many temptations along the way that sought to take his focus off God to lesser things. It would have been really easy to put his faith into his wealth, the size of his military, and the peace in the nation, his victories on his campaigns in war. And how God sought to bless him. And it would have been awfully tempting for God to all of a sudden take his eyes off of the Lord. But as David spent time in prayer, he was brought back again and again to the fact that it was God who was sovereign over the affairs of state. It was God's hand that blessed the nation. And David had to come to that realization that the times when all of a sudden he took his eyes off of the Lord, that he had to put them back upon the Lord. Because that was who was giving them the strength to continue on. That was who was blessing them as a nation. And so we need to be reminded as well this morning that the moment we take our eyes off the Lord in our own lives and we start putting our confidence in other things, then we will see the hand of God's judgment in our lives in order to bring our eyes back upon him. Our blessing comes from him, and our blessing of ministry here in OMC is a direct result of people in this congregation spending emphasized time in prayer. And so my emphasis this morning is to encourage you to continue in a life of prayer. See, we face the same temptations as David did in his life. And the fact that it is easy to do life without having to acknowledge God as everything seemingly continues as we expect. Life continues to go on. And it's really easy as life continues to go in the pattern that we expect to leave God out of the picture. And it's only in times when all of a sudden difficulties come and when hardship comes that all of a sudden we turn back to God and we seek his face in life. And the encouragement as well is that even in the midst of whatever we are going through, whether that be great success or whether that be great hardships, to live a life dedicated to prayer in our lives, that God would show us areas that we can continue to pray in and for and seek his hand in. And if we are seeking to do ministry, that we would see God's hand in the midst of that ministry and we would seek his input in that. We face the temptation to treat prayer as an insurance policy that will be there for us when unexpected happens. When all of a sudden the unexpected takes place, all of a sudden then is when we pull our insurance policy out and we see what the terms of our insurance are and then we seek God's hand in that. We lose the truth of 1 Chronicles 29 verses 13 to 15. So if you got your Bibles this morning, I'd like to take a few moments and then just turn to a couple passages. So let me just read to you 1 Chronicles 29, 13 to 15. The importance, hopefully, that you continue to bring your Bible to church with you, that we open it and spend time in reading it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 29, let's read verses 13 to 15. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. And so the writer of Chronicles was seeking to emphasize to the people, remember that all that you have, all that you are able to give, comes directly from the hand of God. And in our own lives, we need to come back to that perspective. All that I have is from God's hand, and I need to hold it with an open hand, all that he has blessed me with. Because, yes, we are only sojourners here. We don't know how many years, how many days God gives us. And this is not our final dwelling place. The people realized all that they had and all that they could give was a provision from God. David's call to his people is that they would come and hear. And so this brings us to our passage here in Psalm 66, which I'd like to take a few moments to look at this morning. Psalm 66, verse 16 through to verse 20. So I'm just going to start at verse 16, where David says, come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. David's cry, David's call to the nation was that they would come and hear. Those who fear God will understand when David shares to them all that God had done for his soul. Now, why would David bring something so personal before them? See, David did not want to just to share with them how God had blessed them materialistically. If you look at the earlier part of the chapter, you would see that he shares how God shares with them all that God had done for them as a nation. And that he mentions turning the sea into dry land in verse 6 and his watch over them as a nation. He's not denying the fact that God has blessed them as a nation. But here he wants to get very specific with the people, with those who fear the Lord. And he's seeking to call out a select group of people, those who fear the Lord. Would you come, would you hear all that God has done for my soul? See, for us to hear, we must first come. There must be a leaning in if we are to hear, and the fear of God must rule our hearts for us to desire to hear. And David here saw the importance of this, not only in his own life by him sharing this fact, but also for the people that they might hear as well. The things he was wanting to share is what God had done to transform his mind, his emotions, and his will. It would have been easy to act in bitterness to all who had done him wrong and seek payback, but he wanted to acknowledge God in his life. And so this was an important thing for David, because David needed to reiterate all that God had done for him. The hard times in David's life were not finished, and those more times would come when he had to rest and lean in upon the Lord. And so he needed to be reminded of all that God had done in the past. And so it was important for David to share these things. It was a reminder to him of God's fulfillment of promise in his life. And thus it's important in our own lives that we come to those places as well, that we are reminded of all that God has done in our own souls. As that we come to hard times, we can look back and say, thus far the Lord has led me, and I know that he is faithful to lead me into the future. But it was also important for David to share this information with the people as well. They were to come upon hard times when their thinking would be challenged as well. Is God faithful? And so the people needed reminded of God's faithfulness in his life, and thus God would be faithful in their lives as well. The people he called to come and hear needed to hear so that they would grow in their confidence upon the Lord. And so when you hear of others sharing of God's faithfulness in their lives, it can strengthen our lives as well when we listen in on those stories, because he's describing our God and he's glorifying God in through this act. He's lifting up the name of the Lord, and we can do that in each other's lives as well if we desire to hear, then come and hear as well. What they heard would grow God larger in their understanding. it would lift up the name of the Lord in their lives, because it is important that God's name is lifted high. By David sharing these with them, he was also giving God the glory that he rightfully deserves. The word of God shares with us in Jeremiah that we are to boast. What we are to boast in is that we understand and we know me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. It's not often that we spend time growing in our knowledge of who God is. And David here wanted to seek to do that in their lives, because the importance of God becoming larger in their life would have a direct bearing upon their prayer lives as well. Tozer's made this statement: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what is your vision of God here this morning? What place does God have? And when you envision God, what comes to your mind? Has God risen in importance in our life? And what place does he have in our life? Your vision of God will determine largely whether you pray, and it will determine how you pray as well. Your vision of who God is. If you see him high and lifted up, will that not change how you pray? Our respect, our honor, and honoring him and giving him glory. I'm sure many of you have seen a video, and I'm sure it's shown in this church before, by S.M. Lockridge. It's titled, That's My King, and you can find it on YouTube. Because of YouTube principles, we can't show it this morning. But for about 3 minutes, he seeks to describe God in that passage. And he wishes that he could only find more words to actually describe God. So if you have opportunity, go ahead and find that on YouTube. When Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on his throne, lofty and exalted, with his robe filling the temple, with the seraphim covering their faces and their feet, and saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," his response was, "Woe is me." This was seraphim, perfect, without sin. And yet they as well covered their faces and covered their feet. That was their response of being in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And when Isaiah saw him, his response was, "Woe is me." What is our response when we come into God's presence? Because when we pray, we are coming and we have the honored privilege of being able to stand in the throne room of God. In fact, the book of Hebrews says, for us to come. He wants us to come. We have an open invite. His desire is that he might communicate with his children. But what is our response when we are before the throne of God? Here is described in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's response when he stood in the presence of God. Woe is me. Woe is a judgmental term expressing grief and despair. The presence of the Lord results in Isaiah seeing himself for who he truly is. But it does not result in him fleeing, but it actually results in him confessing his sin and the Lord taking away his iniquity and his sin being forgiven. Isaiah's response to his iniquity being taken away and God asking, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" is, "Here am I, send me." What is our response when we come before the Lord? Are we so busy in our prayer, "God, get me through this, what I need to pray for, so I can get on with the rest of my day"? And I know that needs to be a conviction of my own heart as well, as I seemingly go through the motions in my prayer, as I'm praying for different individuals, that God would give me a heart of passion for the things that he desires, that God would give me a passion for what his heart desires, and that my heart might align with his. Is this our response when we stand in the throne room of God in prayer? Remember back to when you last had opportunity to be in the throne room of God in prayer. What was your heart attitude? Used God as a change machine? Put the money in, say the prayer, expect the results? Do we treat prayer that way? Or have we recreated God in our own image, believing him to be just like us? Prayer is only surpassed in importance in the life of a believer by time spent in God's word. Yet by people's own admission, we spend so little time in prayer. The average person admits that they spend less than 5 minutes a day in prayer. And they actually did a survey at a pastor's conference, and the pastors confessed that usually, or their prayer life is less than 7 minutes a day. Now, the timeline is not as important as what it indicates. As it indicates the level of importance and the value we place upon prayer. I'm not speaking this morning challenging you to spend necessarily more time in prayer. But what is our value that we place upon prayer? And how do we come to Him in prayer? One definition of prayer is as follows. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God hath promised or according to the word for the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. Is that the definition of our prayer life? God, would you align my will with yours that I might pray according to your will? One's prayers and one's concept of prayer can rise no higher than one's concept of God. The heart of biblical and Christian prayer is the God who is its focus and its fountain. Your view of God will determine how you pray. Oh, that we would spend time seeing and looking upon God's face, that we might grow in our knowledge of who our God is, that He might live larger in our lives. And I'm sure that if that takes place, then it will directly affect how we pray and the time we spend in prayer and what we ask for in prayer as well. Prayer is the only medium of communication with heaven. David cried to the Lord with his mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue, as he says there. As David went in prayer, yes, I'm sure David had lots of requests, and we see many of them mentioned throughout the Psalms. But also, he sought to emphasize extolling the Lord by his mouth as well. David was also praising God in that he heard and that God was given heed to the voice of my prayers. It does not mean that he received everything that he cried out to God in, but he knew that God had listened and responded to his prayers. How could he know this? Because he dealt with the wickedness in his life. Because there it says in verse 18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. David knew that, and he knew he had to deal with that in his life. The reason he could know that God heard was the fact that he had dealt with the wickedness in his heart. There is a truth that wickedness will close the avenue of communication. If all of a sudden, well, man, God isn't responding, then maybe we need to deal with the wickedness in our own hearts. We know from Job 35, verse 9, he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Isaiah 1, 15, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Confession needs to be a part as God brings it to our minds. If God lays upon our hearts the things that are standing between him and us, we need to come to the throne in confession for that. That we might not have nothing between us, and then we can know as David did, that God hears and God responds. Does God answer everything that is specifically as we ask him? No, he doesn't. But because sometimes God knows far more, and God sees a big picture. And often sometimes he does not give us what we do deserve. But yet David here responds. He can say, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor his loving kindness from me. And David could rest in the assurance that yes, God did hear, and God, I know that God will respond and give me his answer in through that. Amid different crises, it is popular for people to gather for prayer. And as noble as this is, if any of these conditions remain of the few verses listed above, then we know that God does not hear them. And often it is a temptation for us as a nation as we come together at different functions and for different individuals to pray. And it's even mandated in the states. They have a national day of prayer. And I heard on one of the occasions they had multiple different people praying there. One of them was a Muslim, another one was a Jewish rabbi, and other different individuals. How do you expect God to hear when you have people whose hearts are not right with him seeking to address him? Oh, that we would be people who come before the Lord and deal and make sure that there's no wickedness between us and him. There is an importance to confession in the life of the believer, but also for all mankind, if we want God to hear and heed to the voice of our prayers. A lot of us are familiar with the acronym used in prayer, with the word ACTS. A stands for adoration, C stands for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. Somebody's just come up with that to remind us, as when we come to prayer, that we would come with a heart to adore him for who he is, that we might give him the glory that he is well deserving of, that we would spend time in confession and then thanksgiving and thanking the Lord for all that he has given to us, and maybe even thanking the Lord for what he has not given to us as well. But then also he asks us to come in supplication as well, that we might bring our requests before him. We should add each of these to our times in prayer. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus makes this statement, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." This was a statement that Jesus made. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Meaning that nothing that is spiritually good, be it little or great, easy or difficult to be performed, nothing can be done without Christ, without his spirit, grace, strength, and presence, or as separate from him. If we are going to seek to be effective for him, if we are going to seek to properly utilize the resources that he gives us, then we need to come to the understanding that it was a gift from his hand. C.H. Spurgeon makes this statement, "You are not capable of performing the lowest act of the divine life except as you receive strength from God the Holy Spirit." Do we understand this? Do we believe this? That everything I have, if I am going to be involved in ministry, it's going to be a resource that has to come from him. This being true, where are we gaining the knowledge and strength to do ministry from? If we expect to do whatever God has called us to, whatever avenue that God has opened for us, do we expect God's hand in the midst of that ministry? Do we expect God to bless what we are about? If we do not come with a proper understanding that if I have anything, any resources, any opportunity that God that might come from that is going to be from God's hand, and I need to ask him and seek his hand in that, whatever he's called me to be about. It is the Holy Spirit who takes the word of God and speaks to the hearts of people and allows us the opportunity to partner with him. Often it is tempting to walk into ministry. I've got this. I'm teaching a Connect class, a lowly Connect class. I know all the information. I've actually read and studied it. And we never seek the Lord's hand to take what I share with these kids or with whatever I take and share his word, that God would utilize that in the hearts of individuals, that the Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of those individuals, that they might respond to his word. So is our preparation as much in prayer as it is as well as reading the word of God? The importance of prayer in our ministries cannot be emphasized enough. Jesus, while on this earth, spent much time in prayer to his Father. He modeled prayer for us and taught his disciples principles in prayer as well, which we will look at next Sunday. David, through his difficulties and his interactions with God, gained a knowledge of God that was richly impacting his life and his ability to rule. And so we see throughout the book of Psalms there multiple times where David sought to interact with his Heavenly Father. And the relationship that he had is even so bold that maybe we don't even dare to be as bold as what he was in prayer. But yet we can go before his throne and we can share the concerns. And oh, that we would be people, as we seek to prepare for whatever God has for us, that we would seek to put time in that in prayer as well. One of the disciplines that David observed was prayer. The purpose in sharing this account was that not for the purpose of his audience doing more and trying harder, but that they would gain a wonder in the God that he served through answered prayer. And so David here, as he shared the stories of what God had done in his heart, that his people might gain a wonder in who their God is. And because as they gained the knowledge and a wonder in who their God was, it would have a direct bearing in how they prayed and the relationship they had with their Heavenly Father. As they heard of all that God had done in his soul, they would be encouraged, God would be glorified, and they would come to an appreciation of prayer in the life of somebody who fears God. Do we have stories of God's answered prayer in our lives? As you look back and you reflect this afternoon, can you think back and say, this was an answered prayer that God did for me? That you would be able to share with others God's answers to prayer in your life, and that you might be an encouragement to those who you have opportunity to walk with. In 2 weeks at the anniversary weekend, we will have many opportunities to hear of answered prayer in the life of OMC. This ministry is a work of God and answered prayer, and it needs to continue to be. As we look back and as we reflect back of all that God had done in these past 50 years, it was a direct response to people praying and spending time in prayer. As people got together collectively or even on their own and praying for this ministry, we saw God's hand. And if we're going to see God's hand of blessing in the next 50 years, then God's people are going to have to get together and spend time in prayer, whether that be individually or whether that be collectively, and or as God gives opportunity that we might see his hand continue to move forward in this ministry. We sought the Lord for much in the first 50 years. What are we seeking God for in the next 50 years in the life of Osler Mission Chapel? It's one thing to look back upon, and we need to do that and thank the Lord and rejoice in his hand, the blessing in our lives, and we can do that weekend as well. But can we also reflect on, God, what do you have for us if you should tarry for this next 50 years? God, what do you have for my life this year, next year, in the ministry that you've called me to be a part of? What is your hand? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to do? Can you respond, and do you desire as David, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul? May God give you opportunities to be able to do that and share those, that it might be an encouragement to them, that it might lift up God in their vision, that their vision might grow in who their God is, because they've seen God's hand, a blessing in your life. And may God give you opportunity. So don't be scared to share all that God has done for you as God gives opportunity. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer, and I'm going to call the worship team back up to sing one more song. So let's just close this part in a word of prayer. God, thank you for who you are. May you open our eyes as Elijah prayed for his servant, that he might see the army that was surrounding them. That Heavenly Father, that you might be lifted up large in our eyes. And that Heavenly Father, it might have a direct bearing in the time that we spend before you and how we spend before you. And even as we look at OMC and we're thankful for the past years that you have given to us and your hand of blessing over these years. But Heavenly Father, may we not lose our focus. And that Heavenly Father, may you open our eyes that we might see your hand in the next years, how many ever you give us. And that Heavenly Father, we might be a ministry that seeks your face and seeks your empowering dunamis power in the midst of that ministry. For praying this in your name, amen.